Hi, this is Travis Lazarzer. This is Gridiron Gurus. That's going to be one for the blooper reel, I'm sure. For the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel, I'm here with Drew Bonifant and Skowhegan Area High School coach Ryan Libby. Coach, thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me.
Let's first talk about the PTCB. Seems like normally in most years, there's at least at this point of year, one or two teams have kind of separated themselves from the pack. Brunswick in more recent years, Lawrence before that. This year, there's really nothing like that. Everybody's kind of bunched up near the top, 3-2, or even 2-3.
I know we kind of expected that going into things. With Brunswick graduating so many last year, we kind of thought that things would even out. And so it's not something that I didn't expect going into it. We've got some good football teams, and I think we're all pretty evenly matched.
Did you like your team's your chances of being in that picture coming into the season? I mean, a lot of you also lost some players. You know, Garrett McSweeney at top of the list, but had a good quarterback coming in, Marcus Christopher, and a lot of good solid returning pieces. Did you like your team's chances of really making a run at that playoffs thing from the start?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was confident with Marcus replacing Garrett. As much as you can have losing a kid like Garrett, I mean, you lose so much there. But I knew we would be able to compete. Didn't know where it would shake out, but I absolutely had playoff hopes coming into the start of the season.
Now that we're in the second half of the season, what have you seen in a team that you feel like you got to improve in these last three regular season games heading into the playoffs?
Well, we need to improve in stopping the run. Yeah. And we're going to have to play those good teams again. You know, we're going to have to battle through a Messalonsky again or hit a Brewer at some point in the time. And that's our biggest weakness at this point in the season. So we've got to find a way to solidify our defense up front.
Is that something where you look at it and say, we have the right schemes in place, we just need to execute them better? Or is it something where you look at it and say, we need to have different kids in different places, we need to kind of change the way we go about?
So from a coaching standpoint, we work really hard. I think the scheme is great and we need to execute better. Mm-hmm. But at this point in the year, sometimes it's just a matter of the kids we have just can't do that. So maybe we do have to change it up. Maybe we have to give a different look and try to find something that our kids can just do better. And that falls on our shoulders as coaches.
I was wondering this, like, what's kind of the line between, because high school football season is only games long until you get to playoffs and everything, but what's kind of the line between looking at something like needing to improve in the run or something and saying, you know, it's only 8 weeks, we don't have a lot of time to fix this, in a safe amount of time, versus saying like, hey, but we still have a month left in the season, there's time to work things out. Like, is there what's kind of that fine line between feeling that urgency, we need to fix this now, and feeling a sort of we got time to get through this?
Well, I'd say for us, our offense has really turned it on. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I don't think we feel the pressure as much.
Okay.
We know we can score points. We continue to work. We'll continue to work right up to week 8 and into the playoffs at finding a way to stop, you know, to fix our weaknesses, stop the run. So because our offense is good, we can really focus on that and keep working and hope we keep scoring points.
This year, there's been crossover games. They've been in the past, but this year more than ever. And they've been trying to make them as competitive as possible statewide. In Class B, on the other hand, your league, the Pine Tree Conference, is right now 0-9 against Class B South with some more games coming up this week. You guys are going to Biddeford. I think Westbrook is coming up to Mountain Blue. What do you think that is? Is it just a statistical anomaly? You know, what do you think's going on in there?
I mean, we aren't familiar with a lot of those teams, but I, from what I've seen on film and live with the Marshwood game, is the South is very talented this year. I've seen Marshwood up close and personal, and we've seen Falmouth a couple times on film. We've seen Kennebunk. We've seen Biddeford on film, and all those teams are just really talented football teams.
Right.
So I'm hoping, yes, it's a statistical anomaly, and things will balance back out. And I'm also hoping that we can get the North on the board here this week, going down to Biddeford.
Yeah, because when you look at, since they've gone to the four classes in 2013, state titles are 2-2, North and South. But you just hope that maybe this isn't the start of a trend like there was for years in Class A, where a lot of youth schools were before this, where from 1987 to 2012, back then, East won two titles.
Right.
And I don't think it is, because you look at it, the schools aren't, you know, the discrepancy in size isn't there like it was in Class A, where you were, you know, schools like yourself and Lawrence and right. the 700-800 students were playing against schools, you know, 1,200-1,300 students. In your league, four teams have under 700 students. In their league, three teams have under 700 students. And two of the, you know, teams that are struggling in their league, Noble and Gorham, are the two biggest schools. So I don't think it's that. I think it's just, like you said, Marshwood's very good. I've seen them twice. Kennebunk's very good, and Falmouth's very good, and you know Biddeford's nipping at their heels.
Right, battling it on.
It's just I don't want to say a top heavy league, but it's just a strong league this year.
I think there's evidence towards both lines of thinking, right? I mean, where size and depth and a pool to draw from is so big in football, and the bigger towns are in the South, and I don't know if there are more. Tradition heavy and established youth programs there. I don't know what the structure of that is, but if that's there, then that's more of a pool to draw from. So that would lead to the thought, like, okay, there's a reason behind this disparity in the wins mm-hmm. and losses. But on the other hand, how did the title games turn out last year? B North team won Class B.
Yeah.
D North team won Class D. South team won Class C. But that would make you think, okay, well, last year we had a team from the North in Brunswick that was the team that was beating everybody, and now right. Maybe we're just looking at,
sometimes the pendulum swings a little
exactly.
bit. Yeah, I refuse to think there's some magic football fairy dust in York and Cumberland counties where they're, drinking it in the water supply and just putting out more talented teams. But Drew does bring up a good point as to strength of youth football. How's youth football in the Skowhegan region these days?
It seems to be pretty strong. It's definitely one of the things that now that I'm finishing up year one as a head coach, I want to get more involved in. But we have a pretty good youth program run through the Skowhegan Rec, and our 7th and 8th grade teams are doing very well this year. Numbers are looking good for the future, and things are looking up.
Yeah. Is this the most balanced PTC you've seen in a while? I mean, you played in it. You've been a coach in it for a long time.
I've always felt that this PTC, which is very similar to the one I did play in back in 2001, has always been a pretty strong league. Yeah. There was never really felt like there were off weeks, and now there's a couple down teams this year, absolutely. But it's kind of always been a league where you had to battle it out each week.
Yeah, it's a lot of the same schools that were in it when you were playing.
Yeah.
Minus Bangor, Waterville, and I think Gardner.
Yeah.
I don't know who else, but
it sounds like the parity is not a surprise in B North, but do you look at a team that's either having a better season than a program that's having a better season than you expected coming in, or one that's, the other way around, maybe has been more close to the pack than you expect them to be?
In our league?
Yeah.
I was surprised. I'm surprised to see Brunswick without a win right now, definitely. The other teams, not surprised really at all. We played Coney tough, and we come out with a win there, but they've mm-hmm. played really well since. Lawrence is a good football team, and they're picking up their wins where they need to. We don't face Brewer this year, so it was a bit of an anomaly. We got to scrimmage against them, but again, they do what Brewer does. They line up big guys and run at you, and they're doing pretty well.
Even losing some Division I players like they did, they're still coming at you.
Yeah.
While there's no favorite probably in your league, kind of favorites are emerging across the state in the other conferences. Let's just kind of run down through them. Drew, in Class A, I think it's Bonnie Eagle. What they have done to the opposition this year.
I think you had some questions coming in both in the season, but and into the midway point. Was it Bonnie Eagle? Was it Thornton? Scarborough had a lot of people were high on Scarborough. Are they the team? And then Bonnie Eagle kind of put those teams to a tier two last week, beat Thornton 49-14.
And that was their closest game of the season.
I didn't know that. That's their closest game of the season,
a 35-point win.
Okay, so. Yeah, that's a team I think is clicking right now.
Yeah.
And then defending champs, lots of players back. That's got to be the team to watch.
Do you guys still get to follow other divisions at all, Coach, or is it just let's worry about what's going
on? I'd like to, but I love to watch as much football as I can get my hands on.
Sure.
Sometimes with all the film breakdown, it's just a matter of catching highlights on Friday night news, but we like to follow as much as we can.
Yeah. In Class B, I think Marshwood and Kennebunk have kind of separated themselves from the pack in B South a little bit. I've seen Marshwood twice, and they just look so fast and deep across the skill positions each time. Kennebunk I haven't seen yet. Falmouth, I think, is right behind them with, like we said earlier, Biddeford coming right behind them.
Yeah, I mean, Falmouth and Falmouth is in that mix kind of leading up to them. And I saw them play the opener against Coney. They look like a good team. I don't know if how well they match up with those Marshwood and Kennebunk.
They lost to Kennebunk. They play Marshwood this week, so we're going to find out.
That's going to be a good indication because it's you see him in the season opener. How well does that translate to week six?
If you're not a different team in October than you were in the end of August, beginning of September, then you're not doing it right.
Exactly. I mean, does that remind you of the Marshwood-Kennebunk thing? Does that kind of remind you of where Brunswick and Brewer were last year, kind of separating themselves from the pack in class and B North or in the PTC?
With Brunswick, yeah, but I mean, maybe you can speak to it. I don't feel like Brewer ever separated themselves that much. They were always obviously good, don't get me wrong, but there was a lot of close games that they were able to pull out. I know one was against your team in the playoffs 2 years ago where they had that crazy long drive in the fourth quarter.
Right, and then scored the extra point to win it.
Yeah,
that was after we had earned the bye.
Yeah.
Last year I thought Brunswick definitely separated themselves, but mm-hmm. I felt then there was the next level. You know, it was like four or five teams at the next group, and with Brewer, with us, with Coney, probably Lawrence, and you know, all in that mix there. Meslon,
yeah, all the teams that made the playoffs. Right. You know, well, we saw that you know with the road teams winning each playoff game in the first round.
Yeah.
So, Class C, I think Levitt in the South might be a shade better than anybody. Had a couple close wins, but they just seem to keep getting it done. And in the North, I think it's coming down to Winslow and Mount Desert Island, who played in week one. I think they're on a collision course, Drew, to play each other again in the conference championship game.
Yeah, and teams that are kind of built the same way. I don't know if their running backs are necessarily the same kinds of runner. I think Fredette's more of a stronger...
Talking Ryan Fredette of Winslow.
Yeah, Ryan Fredette. Yeah, thank you. Ryan Fredette of Winslow is more of a stronger running back with some speed, while MDI has kind of a stable of backs. And the back, I just saw him last week, and the running back of theirs that turned heads the most was Colby Lee, who's a speed guy. So it's one of those two different ways to get to the same result. They're both really good, really strong running teams. Teams that are going to pile on rushing yards and points on the ground, but do it in different ways. But they're very good teams, very good defenses, and it does kind of look like it's going to need a shocker to keep the – not have those teams meet up at the end.
Yeah, Winslow did survive a scare at Herman this week, 35-33. Gave up some big plays. Coach Savisky told me they got to work on some tackling and tighten that stuff up this week. But I see them meeting again in the playoffs, and it'll be in Winslow at Pool and Field because Winslow won that week one game 21-20.
I imagine, you know, MDI, you might look at the scores and say, oh, well, they had a close call, you know, 11-point win against MCI, but that was, they were up 35-0 at halftime. The subs came in, MCI rallied against the subs. Probably says a lot about fortitude on MCI's part to fight back in that game, but I don't think MDI's come away from that game thinking, oh, man, we had to sweat that one out.
No, I don't think they were. And in Class D, I think Wells coming back on that Madison game a couple weeks ago, you know, down 21-7 at the half to win it 25-21. Wells has kind of probably put themselves as the favorite, I would think, with Madison right behind them. And in the North, Foxcroft Academy, who only lost to Madison in week one, seems to be the team to beat in the Little Ten Conference.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about MDI and Winslow kind of being similar, and Wells and Madison, I would think are, you know, a lot more different. Wells is a defensive heavy team, and Madison has just got so much speed on offense. But it's kind of shaping up that way in Class C as well, where you just see those two teams kind of on a path, on a path to meet each other. And I mean, look, they went head to head and was a 4-point game, and what was it, a 1-point game when MCI played Winslow, MDI played Winslow, so it's. The proof is there that these teams match up pretty closely.
Definitely. Games this week, Drew, what are a couple that you're looking forward to seeing?
I'm looking forward to the Madison-Oak Hill game, which, I mean, it's Madison's coming in undefeated. Oak Hill's coming in 2-3, so maybe it's not looking like a down-to-the-wire game from that standpoint. But Oak Hill had a similar matchup last week with Wells. Ended up losing 41-21, but they were tied at the half, 14-14. So... And you can look at that as, okay, well, are they, you know, is that a sign of how close they are to these teams? Can they battle against a team like Madison, or is this going to be a game where Madison gets out to a big lead and stretches it out? So I'm more interested in how that game ends up being played more than necessarily the points scored at the end and what the final point differential is. How about you? What are you looking at?
I have a couple. One that I'll be at Friday night, Brewer at Meslonsky. Two teams that are kind of fighting in your league for playoff positioning. Similar styles, coach, that they both kind of come right at you.
Oh, absolutely. They're pound it football teams. Should be a good grind.
Yeah.
My guess is back and forth. I haven't seen much of Brewer because, like I said, we don't play them this year with all the crossovers, but Meso can run with the best for sure.
If you hear the vacuum behind us, we apologize. The cleaning crew has come by to do their evening chores, and we'll just move on. Another game I'm looking forward to is your game at Biddeford. I think that should be an interesting contrast of styles there. Tell me about trying to defend the triple option that Biddeford runs. You don't see that very often in high school anymore.
No, absolutely, and it's definitely made for an interesting week of prep to get ready for the triple, not only scheme-wise, but now you've got to teach – some kid to run triple option in the look team so we can get a look. Lucky for us, we've got Coach Dunlap who ran it at Maine Maritime.
True.
They run it very well for years.
There.
Yeah. So he's been a big piece of the puzzle for us this week, but he is every week anyway.
I always find it interesting when stuff like that comes back, like, you know, the triple option. When I was in high school in the 80s, it was a lot of teams that we played against ran the wishbone because Oklahoma was having success with it. And it's just, it's a similar kind of figure out who has the ball and just tackle everybody to make sure you make the tackle.
Yeah, we had Coach Rogers in here the other day talking about, you know, defending that double wing. And
right.
It's like, oh, great, you know, this thing I kind of was hoping I'd never have to deal with again. Here it is, right? I would have to go up against it. So it's, yeah, just what do you think? You're not going to see these styles anymore.
Yeah, proof, you know, that football can be played 100 different ways.
Exactly. I wish somebody would come out and try to throw it on us again because we seem to match up well with Coney, but we are struggling stopping the run. So we get another test at Biddeford, but it'll be a big, big win for us to go down, get one for the North.
Right.
Big win going into a tough conference game against Lawrence next week, so.
A lot of heel points there.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you guys for watching. If you stuck through the way I butchered the opening, thank you. Remember, you can follow us on centralmaine.com for all your local high school football coverage. For Drew, I'm Travis. Coach Libby, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoy whatever games you get out to this week, and we'll see you next week on Gridiron Gurus.